Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and turn with me to the book of Revelation. I mean, I've never preached these seven churches like this before, but the Holy Spirit took me to these seven churches and began to minister to me. Sometimes when you come to these seven churches, people think, oh, that's bad news. But there's good news in this revelation that God has given to these seven churches. Matter of fact, God is showing these seven churches how they can get better in their lives and in the things of God. He gives them counsel, he gives them correction, and he also gives them perfecting communication. And I like that perfecting communication because we are all in a position where we are growing in Christ. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a car accident whereby you were not the person that caused the accident, but yet it happened to be an accident? And whenever you have an accident, and after it happens, the next thing you want to be able to find out who's at fault. And when the police come and write up the ticket, and he put no fault on your ticket, I mean, you know, even though the accident is a bad experience, you feel better about the situation now because on your ticket it says what? No fault. Because, see, no fault means, first of all, that your license won't lose no points. No fault means that your insurance won't go up. But the reality, even though you have no fault on your ticket, you still have to go through a process that perhaps may have to deal with someone trying to refute that particular statement on that ticket. Go through a process of waiting to get your car fixed and all kinds of things. And get this, the other people, insurance company, may not want to work well with you. The reason I brought that out is today we get to visit a church among these seven churches whereby Jesus himself literally says to this church, there is no fault. This particular church is unique from all the other churches because this church has no problem where Jesus has to correct it. There is no criticism, but yet they have to go through a process that Jesus comes to give them counsel and to give them perfecting communication. Listen, even though you may not have caused things to happen in your life, you still need godly counsel. Even though you may be going through something because of somebody else's actions or reactions, you still need God to guide you through that process. In other words, you may say, well, it wasn't my fault, but you still have to go through the process. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, we're going to look at this particular church. And I want to put a subtopic on this message, doors of opportunity. We're talking about realignment for impact. That's our theme, but I want to give a subtopic, doors of opportunity. The church of Philadelphia, though poor, small, and persecuted, had remained true to Christ. Due to this faithfulness and patient endurance, Jesus comes to reveal the great door of opportunity that he himself only has power to open for their lives and to provide them rewards that no man can stop in their life. Now, as a believer in Christ, your faithfulness and patient endurance has an expiration date as well as a compensation package awaiting you in the form of rewards. No matter what you go through in your life, how many know God has an expiration date on that trial? God has an expiration date on that persecution. God has an expiration date on how long he will allow someone to treat you in a negative way. And not only does he have an expiration date on it, but he also have a compensation package awaiting you. Some of us know what it means to get a compensation package. I've heard people say that they took an early retirement. They gave me a good compensation package. Those who are veterans in the military and everything, you're probably waiting on some type of compensation relative to your percentage. And so God comes to this church and he brings them encouragement because even though they're not at fault, how many know they're having to go through the process? There are four lessons I want you to take with you from this particular church. The first one is this. God's door of opportunity is available to all who trust the character of Jesus. Notice verse 7, the Bible says, into the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is what? Holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Jesus opens this particular letter, as he normally does, by identifying not just his identity, but the attributes of his identity. When we talk about the attributes of a person's identity, we are making reference to their character. Say character. See, character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Here, Jesus brings out two attributes of his character. He says that he is holy, so that's his holiness. And he says that he is truth, that is his truthfulness. He is the consecrated one who is set apart, and he is also the true Messiah. You got to remember, before Jesus came, there were many who came and said they were the Messiah. No, Jesus is the true Messiah. Now, when it comes to character, there are three questions that I want to pose before you all, and I want you to think about them. One of the questions go like this. How important to you is it for people to present the truth about themselves entering into a relationship with you? You don't want to begin the relationship with lies, right? You want them to be truthful. Okay, here's the other question. How important is it to you when you make a purchase and thinking you are getting the authentic item? Especially those of us who buy stuff in the parking lot. You got a cousin, tell you they got Nikes. Come to find out the K is kind of bent on it. But how important it is for you to make sure that if you're thinking you're getting the real item, it is exactly the real item. Here's another question. How important to you is it in making sure you are presenting the truth of yourself to others? Now think about it. The first two questions were projected outwardly, how someone else present the truth to you. The last question is, how important is it for you to make sure that you are being truthful in how you present yourself to others? The reason I ask those questions is this. The only one you can control is the last question, because the last question reflects my character. I can't control the character of another person. I can't make a person have character, but I can begin to examine my life. And I don't care what kind of background I came out of. I don't care what kind of family system I came out of. I can begin to say, I am in Christ now, and I don't want to become a man of character. Not so that others will accept me, because you can be a person of character and people still reject you. Matter of fact, they may reject you because you are a person of character, because you have integrity. Because you won't, get this, you won't do something in the company that will go against your character just to get a promotion. So as we think about that as Christians, we have to realize that when God saves us, when he accepts us, he accepts us with all kinds of character flaws. He doesn't ask us to change our character to accept his grace. He doesn't look at us based on what we are doing to determine whether or not he'll let us in the family. But God accepts us in the beloved. That means he accepts us based on the merit of Jesus Christ. See, we live in a society today, people won't accept people until they get right. Yeah. Some churches will tell homosexuals, we don't even want y'all to come to our church. No, I want you to come to church. Why? Because you're just like the rest of us. You got sin in your life, and only grace can deal with sin. I'm not going to condone your sin. I'm not going to judge your sin, but I am going to share light on all of our sin. So in order to deal with character, you don't look at someone else to try to be like them, because trust me, they do have a character flaw somewhere, because nobody's perfect. You may see certain qualities and they may present a certain thing and you may be attractive and you may be, oh man, that person is. But sometimes when you get close to people, you get to really know them. So, Pastor, where do we begin with this character? First of all, we got to look unto Jesus. Jonathan Edwards said this, the door of God's mercy is thrown wide open, and Christ stands in the door and says to sinners, come. How many know God tells us to come with all our character flaws? How do I deal with this issue about character? Consider Jesus. These are some of the characteristics of Jesus. It's not all of them, but this is a few. First of all, Christ is faithful. The Bible says even when we are not faithful, God remains faithful. In Psalms 103, the Bible says God have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, God has not given us what we deserve. And I thank God that he's that faithful. So God is faithful. That means God is dependable, reliable, and God is trustworthy. Another thing is God is true. In other words, you can trust God. Why? Everything he said is true. The Bible says, in God there is no darkness. All lies originate from who? The devil. God is true. God is merciful. The Bible says it is because of his mercies we are not consumed. God is compassionate. That means God is loving. God looks at our life. He looks at the condition of the world, and he still loves the world. People don't understand. We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Get this. God has never stopped loving the world because Jesus is still here for what? So that the world can be saved. God is forgiven. Isn't that wonderful to know that we serve a God who forgives us? And who will forgive us again and again and again. And you will, get this, you will run out of agains before God stop forgiving. He's forgiven. Not only that, God is generous. God gives. He is patient. God is prayerful. The Bible says Jesus ever living to make intercession for the saints. Jesus is praying for us. Christ is obedient. The Bible says God, Jesus did whatever the Father said. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And how many know Christ is victorious? He overcomes. These are some of the characteristics of Christ. And he tells them, he opened up, he said, I am holy and I am true. 1 John 4:16 and 17, listen to this. It said, and we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. Didn't we sing that earlier? How he loves us. You got to know that. You got to believe that. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We can have confidence in the day of judgment because we know that when we stand before God, God is not going to judge us based on our sin. Our sins have been blotted out through the blood of Jesus. God's not going to hit rewind button when we get to heaven. God's going to have the rewards button when we get to heaven. Well, get this. So when judgment day come, I'm not sitting there scared whether I'm going to make it in and looking at somebody else. I'm looking forward to my rewards. If you've labored, you get a reward. If you serve God, you get a reward. If you've been faithful, you get a reward. So we can be what? So we can have boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. We're like Christ in this world. The second thing I notice, if you look at verse 8, as Jesus talks about the key to David and what he's making reference to here, we talk about the key to David, to the authority that he has to allow people to come into the kingdom of God. In verse 8, he said, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. The second thing I notice is God's door of opportunity is awaiting those who cry out to him. This particular church, if it was present today, would not be a very appealing church to a lot of people, would not be very attractive to a lot of people because, first of all, it is not popular in name. The Bible used the word, this church have a little strength. What Christ is saying, when he used the word little strength, another translation says little power. What he's making reference to is that this church is a small church. We would probably call it a storefront church today. He's saying that this church has no economic ability. It's not a rich church. He's saying that this church here has no political influence in the culture. In other words, it doesn't have a hookup plan that it could use the system to get things done for it. And so when he says little strength, he's making reference to the fact that this church is not a popular church. God doesn't visit this church because of faults or failures or popularity or size or influence. He visits this church because of his faithfulness. I want you to grab that. Because God honors faithfulness. The Bible say a faithful man or a faithful woman shall abound with blessing. God's parenting style is not to wait until we make a mistake to give us attention. But God comes at all times and all seasons of our lives that regardless of where we are or how we are, he's there to lend us his power in his strength. Sometimes I know it frustrates the school teacher that if they're having problem with a particular child and all of a sudden they're trying to get the parent engaged and for some reason the parent would not even give any attention to want to address what is going on with this child. Won't even come and celebrate any of the accomplishments or anything. But soon as the child get in trouble, now they're ready to come to fight the teacher. I pray for school teachers this day and time. My point I'm making is that sometimes people don't give attention to their children until they do something bad. And the child thinks like this, well, the only time I get some attention around here is I got to act up. Then they start acting out. But you got to celebrate what? The good things that they're doing. You got to get this. You got to compliment them on things that they're doing positively. And they find out then that when I do positive things, I get attention from mom or I get attention from dad. Rather than every time I do something bad, now everybody giving me some attention. I mean, oh, now the child in this psychic thing, I'll keep doing bad stuff because now why? I feel like I got some value. Why? They give me some attention. Well, here, God, he doesn't wait until we do something bad to give us attention. God honors what? Our good deeds. God honors our faithfulness. So when you find yourself in a situation and somebody else is doing evil, you can decide right then, I don't have to render evil for evil. I can do good. Why? Because God going to show up and reward my faithfulness. Isaiah 40 and 29 says this. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. How many know that's the kind of God that we serve? That even at our worst, God shows us his best. Isaiah 41 and 10 says this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I love a God like that. That comes to me that even when I am weak, he said, I'll give you strength. Even when I'm in trouble, he said, I'll help you out. How many know that's the kind of God that we serve? Because sometimes people think when they're at their weakest, get this now, well, they have made a mistake or they have fallen. They feel like, oh, God. And if you grew up in a family system where whenever you did something and all of a sudden you were rejected and isolated and no one spoke to you, how many know that comes over into the kingdom? So when you miss the mark in the kingdom of God, you think you got to go through 3 days of what? Of punishment by God. The Bible goes on to say, I know your works. See, I've set you an open door and no one can shut it. Now, when Jesus makes reference to this door, he's open to them. Here, specifically in context, he's talking to Gentiles. And these Gentiles knew that Jews thought the door of salvation was not open to Gentiles. And Jesus comes and he tells them that there's a door that I've opened where you can come into the kingdom, where you can come into the family of God. And he said, get this, no one can shut that door. No one can keep you out of God's family. For even though you have little strength, guess what he said I'm going to do? You have kept my word. And in other words, despite how weak you are, despite what little influence you have, despite how you may be looked at by society, God said you have proven faithful. You've been faithful to my word. You've been able to stand on my name despite what you're going through. Listen, I want to say this. No matter what you go through in your life, you can hold on to the name of God. You can stay true to the word of God. When we come down to verse 9, the Bible transitions now because now the attention is taken off of the ones who are being faithful to the ones who are being unfaithful. The third lesson that God's door of opportunity will call those who meant you evil to bless you good. Remember I said you can get no fault on the ticket, but you still have to go through a process. So even though these Christians have no fault from God, God does not find fault with them. They have to deal with people working against them. And so in verse 9, God began to say, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. He's talking about Jewish people who thought that they were right with God based on their heritage in the lineage of Abraham. Because they were Jews, they thought that made them right with God. Just like in America, people think they're Christians just because they're American. But no, no, these Jews were deceived because there was a spiritual connection that Abraham had with God. There's a spiritual connection that you must have with God. You cannot come to God based on Old Testament teaching of the Jewish race. They have to come through Christ too. So these particular Jews that were thinking they were saved because of their relationship with Abraham, Jesus said they are members of the synagogue of Satan. And not only that, but they are the ones persecuting these Gentiles. They are the ones who telling the Gentiles, you can't come in the family of God. You can't be a part of God's family. And Jesus is saying, they don't get to determine your destiny. They don't get to determine whether or not I can do something in your life. Because when I open the door, they can't shut it. And when I shut the door, they can't open it. Isn't it good to know that God is in control of your life? Isn't it good to know that there are certain doors you didn't go in, not because you had weak faith, because God didn't open it up for you. But the doors that he did open, thank God, no man could close it. Sometimes people think you are who you are today because of them. Nobody gets credit for where you are today in your life but Christ. Hallelujah. Nobody gets the glory for where you are today in your life but Christ. And we that are parents and with our children, we have to let them know, yes, I've been able to be an influence. I've been able to assist you. But no, God did this. When Joseph got to the end of his life journey and his brothers that had worked against them out of jealousy, and when Joseph forgave them at the Genesis 50, Joseph looked at those guys, and I'm paraphrasing, and he said, well, you meant to harm me. God worked that thing out, and I am in the place of God for my life. In other words, I am in position because of God's divine providence, not because of what you did or didn't do. You got to be settled in your heart that I am who I am by the grace of God. I don't care how much education you acquire in life. You have to look at your life through the lens of the word of God. And if it was not for the goodness of the Lord, where would I be? Sometimes people think, oh, because I was in the word and I've been living holy. And that's why all things worked out for me. Get this now. You can be in trouble and things will work out when you come to God. Jesus tells these faithful believers, you have patiently endured. He said, indeed, I will make them come and do what? Worship before your feet. These Jews who have thought that they were in relationship with me and you could not come to me, they are going to come and they're going to worship at your feet. Not only are they going to worship at your feet, notice what the text says, and to know that I have what? And to know that I have loved you. My mind goes to the case of David and Saul. In 1 Samuel 24, and I'm just paraphrasing this, Saul was the king, and he constantly tried to come and just kill David. He was out to kill David. And David running from this guy. Get this. David is the greatest warrior of that day. David could have then took Saul out. But Saul was the king, so David is running all over the place from Saul, and people tell him, well, David is in this city. David is in this mountain. Saul just hunted him down. And all of a sudden, God worked things out. David was in this cave, and Saul ended up coming to the cave where David was, and he didn't know David was in the cave. David was in the back of the cave. So the Bible says Saul goes into the cave to relieve himself, to use the restroom, and all of a sudden David saw him in there, and David took his sword and cut his garment. Saul did not even know that David was that close to him. David takes the garment, he walks up to Saul in his face, and he bows down before him. He gives him respect, and he shows him this part of his garment and said that I could have taken your life. And when Saul saw that David was so close and could have killed him and didn't kill him, the Bible say, look how Saul responded. The Bible say in 1 Samuel 24:17, then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. Notice what it said. You rewarded me good for evil. Listen, listen. When people are trying to work against you, don't come down to their level. When they're trying to do evil, when they're lying on you, when they're trying to scar your name, don't come down to their level. You just wait on God. And at the end of the day, they're going to come back and they're going to recognize two things. They're going to recognize that they're going to have to acknowledge that God is working with you. They're going to acknowledge that God is on your side. Hallelujah. You don't want your enemies killed. You want them to see the grace of God on your life. You don't want to see them destroyed. You don't want them to be able to give witness that God's grace is on your life. Verse 10, he said this, because you have kept my command to persevere. You got to grab this right here. In other words, saints, when we are going through trial, when we are having to endure a difficult situation, you don't look at how long. You take each day at a time, and you wake up that day and you say, you know what? I'm going to outlast this thing. In other words, I like to say it like this. The devil going to give up before I give up. Amen. Your endurance. See, we live in a quick fix world. People want everything right now. They want everything fast. But in the kingdom of God, the key to victory is waiting on God and trusting him while you're waiting. James 1 and 2:4 says like this. Consider it pure joy. Now listen, saints, if you're going to take this verse, it's good to meditate. That means you take the scripture, you look at it, and you say, wait a minute, consider it pure joy. That means that whatever I'm facing, I got to have a joyful attitude. Now, my joy ain't in what I'm going through. My joy is in the Lord. So he said, consider it pure joy. Have a joyful attitude, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. That's when people say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. God said, get this, when you face trials of many kinds, because you got a revelation, you know that the testing of your faith. Wait a minute. You mean what I'm going through is all about my faith? You mean what I'm going through is all about, it ain't about me, it's about your faith. Because the enemy know if he can get you out of faith, he can get you out of the promises of God. If he can get you out of faith, he can get you out of seeing the word work in your favor. So he say the testing of your faith, this is what it's going to do. It's going to develop perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Oh, you be praying, oh God, when you going to get me out of this? And God's saying, I'm developing you in that. I'm making it so down the road, you're going to be able to handle anything. Down the road, you're going to be able to deal with anybody. Why? Because I'm developing you on the inside. Hallelujah. God's got a work he's doing in you. And he could be allowing you to go through this thing so that what? So that your faith will develop perseverance. In other words, your faith will outlast the devil. The last thing I notice about the Church of Philadelphia is that God's door of opportunity keeps you moving when the ways seem dark. Because, verse 10, you have kept my command to persevere. That means you kept the word of my patience. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one can take your crown. Look to your neighbor and say, don't let go. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to keep you from that hour of trial. In other words, I believe that is the time that God's going to permit the devil to have free course to run his little course. But the righteous are not going to be here. I believe God ain't going to let us go through the tribulation period. I believe he's going to rapture us out of this. He said, I'm going to keep you from that hour. Because the text says this, that the whole world is going to go through. So when the whole world is going through it, what? The believers are not going to be there. And then he goes on to say, now, when I come, I'm coming quickly. And the Bible says, when he come, he's going to come like a thief in the night, right? But he tells him, this is all you got to do. Hold fast to what you have. In other words, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain. The reward is the victor's crown in awaiting those that God will establish in his eternal kingdom. Every believer is going to live victorious.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.